Muhammad is my guide, Muhammad is my teacher, Muhammad my beloved Rasulullah.
I want to be like you.
Like you.
In everything I do, Ya Rasulullah.
I want to walk like you, talk like you, read my Quran just like you. Rasulullah.
A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are welcome to Like Muhammad with me, Javed Akberi. We are going to discuss some of the qualities and some of the moral characteristics of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, based on some reports that are found and that you can find, obviously, in the Shia and Sunni sources. Some of the most important sources are Al-Kafi and Man La Hadhuru Al-Faqih, and of course, you can find it in Sunan al-Nabi and Mahajatul Bayda, and all these books are there, also in Nahjul Fasaha. These are some books that you can find important traditions about the Prophet's lifestyle and sayings. The Prophet's lifestyle, Prophet's tradition includes his actions, his sayings, and even his silence are authoritative. They have the probative force, which means that we have to follow in the footsteps of the Prophet's, and we have to act according to his tradition. We should be practicing adherence of the Prophet's tradition. When it comes to the Prophet's silence, some of our audience and listeners may not understand what it means. How can the Prophet's silence be authoritative? Now, I give you an example. If you are doing an action, suppose the Prophet were present at this time, the Prophet was sitting there and you were doing an action, and the Prophet did not object to you. He did not say anything to you, but he was silent. He remained silent. Given the fact that the Prophet witnessed your practice, he saw how you offered your prayer, he saw how you behaved with your friends, he saw how you conducted yourself, and the Prophet did not object to it. He could object to it because he had the free will and the volition to object, but he did not object. So this means that the Prophet, in fact, approved of that act and he endorsed it indirectly, though he did not utter any word, did not say anything. So that's how silence becomes an authoritative factor. Silence of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family. The same is the case with the other infallibles, of course, the 14 infallibles and holy imams, the infallible imams. When they see something and they do not object, then that means that they approve of that act, and that act is permissible. There is no objection in it, and it is allowable. Let's take a break, and then we will be back.
ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء يا حبيبي يا محمد يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك.
Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters. I am Javed Akberi. Now, brothers and sisters, let us talk about the Prophet's dealings with the people. It has been related that Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam said, I asked my father, the commander faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, about how the Prophet of Allah, peace be upon him and his family, would spend his time indoors. The commander of faithful, replying to Imam Hussain, said he would divide his time into three parts, one part for God, one part for his family, and one part for himself. Then the part that was for him, he would divide between himself and the people. Those people were people who were close to him and the general public. It did not matter. he would spare all the time that he could for them. What does it mean that the Prophet, in fact, divided his time and he gave one third of his time to people also, to his close relatives? His policy or his approach or maybe his lifestyle regarding the time he set aside for the Muslim community was to occupy them with what would benefit them and benefit the Muslim community. So he would go to them asking them after their health. He would ask them if they had any problem and he would get information about their needs or about what had to be done. So he would try to solve their problems. He would reach out to those who were desperate, if there were any, of course. Of course, there were many Muslims in the holy city of Medina who were in need of help, who were in need of support. And the Prophet and his companions would go out looking for them and trying to help them as much as he could. Now, you can find this hadith. The hadith is very lengthy. You can find this hadith in Sunan al-Nabi, of course, page 14. And this is a hadith that has been reported from Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam on the authority of his father. And the hadith continues. Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam relates. He says that, "Then I asked my father about how the apostle of God, the Prophet, spent his time outside the house. He said, the Prophet of Allah, may Allah bless him and his family, of course, would guard his tongue except in matters that concerned him. He would work to unite the people and not divide them. He would honor the nobles of every people and place them in authority over them, the nobles of the Muslim community." So it, because in the early period of time or in the early period of Islam, the Arab society was divided into communities and tribes and clans. So there were some people who led the communities. So the Prophet actually did his best to work with those people, and he would honor the nobles of the people, placing them in authority, placing them or putting them as leaders of the people, because every community or every clan needs to have a leader. Without a leader, it is simply impossible to guide the community, to lead or to take the matters in, to handle the affairs of the Muslim society. Whether the society is Muslim or non-Muslim, it does not make any difference. Every community, every people need a leader. Without leadership, of course, the society, there will be chaos, there will be mayhem, there will be destruction, and there will be lawlessness. That's not what Islam wants.
My heart is so full of longing. I wish to be close to my beloved. I dream to walk in the streets of Medina and to quench the thirst of my spirit by visiting you, O Muhammad.
The Prophet of Islam, in fact, would warn the people against the discords. He would be on his guard with the people at all times, but he would never withhold from them his smile or good manners. He would miss those of his companions who were absent and would ask the people about the affairs of the people and would encourage what was beautiful and good and discourage what was ugly and bad. So this was what the Prophet did when he gave his time to the people. The Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his family, was balanced and did not go to extremes. Of course, he would never become heedless for fear that the people would become heedless and divert from the right path, because it is very bad when you are heedless. People will start following you and divert from the right path. So the Prophet of Islam was prepared for every possible scenario and for every situation, and would not fall short of the truth nor go beyond it. So in his view, of course, the best of them were those who gave the best counsel and the highest in station. The best of them and the highest, of course, among them were those who gave the best solidarity and the best support. So, dear brothers and sisters, that's all for this episode. Until next session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Be like Muhammad, live like Muhammad. Rasulullah, Rasulullah.